Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Harvest Church. My name is Jim, if you're new here. That's Jim, and there's a lot of other Jims out there, too. Cody. What was your name again? Carla. Carla's usually back flipping slides for us, so she's singing with us today. So, hey, we're excited you guys are here with us. Go ahead and stand. We're going to start with some worship. And it's graduation Sunday for us, so we will actually have the graduates down here on the stage in between, maybe after our announcements. So, but let's start with some worship. Let me pray for us. Lord God, it's a special day again today, Lord. It's every Sunday is such a special time that we get to gather here, Lord. And we sense that even more so in this season, Lord, that we missed it so much, and we're so glad and thankful to be back in this place, Lord, and that you come and meet us here, Lord, and we just ask that you, we're spread across this campus, so bless the entire campus, Lord. We want to praise you with these songs, Lord. We love you. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy. To see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, holy. See you.
Cause he's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. And oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. There is good news for the captive. Good news for the shame. There is good news for the one who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save. He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. The sound, oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. He is beauty for the blind man, riches for the poor. He is friendship for the one the world ignores. He is pasture for the weary, rest for those who strive. For the good Lord is the way, the life. Yes, the good Lord is the way, the truth, the life. Cause he's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. And oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. Come and be chainless, come and be fearless, come to the foot of Calvary, for there is redemption for every affliction, here at the foot of Calvary. So come and be chainless, come and be fearless, to the foot of Calvary. But there is redemption for every affliction here at the foot of Calvary. Cause he's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound.
Sinner, come near, this earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Oh, earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. To all who are at the table, come taste of grace. Rest for the weary, rest that endures. This earth has no sorrow that heaven can't endure. Lay down your burdens. power, but heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow, but heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. To all who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come on, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, and come as you are.
We are here, Lord, for you. Just as we are, Lord. And it still blows my mind, Lord, that you see us the way you see us, Lord. It's such a great thing that you see us without all our imperfections, Lord. And we're so grateful for that. And we're so grateful for this day. So just continue to bless this time that we have together, Lord. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you guys can hear me across the campus, if you have graduated this year from anything, I guess, from all kinds of different things, colleges and high schools and elementary school and all that. Make your way down while we do our greeting, and we're going to have a little special thing for you guys here. So go ahead and say hi to someone around you, and we'll have announcements shortly.
There is no Good morning, Harvest Church. Good to see everybody this morning. This bright, beautiful, warm day that I expected to be cool, so I wore long sleeves and now I'm hot. So, but I guess I need to continue to go on vamping here for a little while till you get your seat. Okay, there we go. I don't do the soft shoe, and it's tough to do on a carpet anyway. So, well, there we go. Good to have everybody here this morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. Great day to be in the house of the Lord. If you're new here this morning, my name's Pastor Dave. I'm one of the associates here. And just glad to have you here. And those of you who are tuning in online, glad to have you with us this morning. Hope that someday you might be able to come and join us here. For those of you who are here, you're encouraged to visit the information booth. There's a table out just beyond the loft, which if you're new here, you might not know. The loft is the building right behind us. When I was first here and they talked about the loft, I thought they were talking about this up here. But it's a separate building, and then right at the back of that, there's a table that says information, and they have a free gift for you if you would like. So we'd love to have you go back there and do that. Church service and day of fun at Camp Arroyo Grande is coming up. You know where Camp Arroyo Grande is? Right up the hill. If you go out through the back parking lot, it's about a two-minute walk up the hill to the top. We're going to be doing that on July 12th. That's just 4 weeks from today. We're going to go up there. We're going to have service. We're going to have one service at 10 o'clock. We're going to have potluck or barbecue, I should say. We're going to have barbecue, hot dogs, hamburgers, and just a great time together. And we're going to be doing baptisms. We didn't get to do baptisms at Easter this year because of COVID-19, but they have a pool up there, and we're going to be able to do baptisms that day. So if you're interested in baptism, you can sign up at the information table. You can send us an email at info@agharvest.org. Those are the best things. I always tell people, don't tell the pastor anything on Sunday morning because his focus is elsewhere. He will not remember. Matter of fact, with Steve, probably just tell Jolene. You know, not on Sunday. That's right. Next Sunday is Father's Day. You know, normally you have to do this for the guys. You tell them a week before Mother's Day, just to remind them that they need to go get a card this week and that sort of thing. But ladies, you all know that. But we just wanted to make sure that you were all here because we're going to do a special presentation. It'll be a special video presentation like we had on Mother's Day for all the dads. So don't want you to miss that. There are several ways you can give. Here there are collection boxes. There's one back here by the back door. There's one over here. So there's two of them in this room. If you're in the loft, there's one right on the front of the sound booth. If you are in the shop or the patio, there's one right on the edge of the patio by the welcome table that's going into that area. Just drop your tithe in there. Or you can give online at agharvest.org or the AG Harvest app. There are several ways you can give, so just encourage you to do, or you can actually just mail it right into the church, too. For those of you who still know what a check is, today's graduation Sunday. I don't know that we have any graduates here in this service. No, I don't see anybody down here. Jeremy's shaking his head saying no. No, okay. Somebody's got to have graduated from something, but we'll be honoring today, looks like in second service, graduates of 6th, 8th, and 12th grades and college. So with that, I don't think we have anything else, any other announcements this morning, so I'm going to ask Pastor Steve to come up. He's bringing us the word this morning from Ephesians 4. So.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. Good work. Ephesians 4, welcome. Wanted to say welcome to Vic and JoJo. They used to go to church here, moved to the East Coast. They're in North Carolina, so they're watching all the way from the East Coast. So it's good to have them tuning in, as well as others, I'm sure, tuning in different places. Still live streaming, so people who don't feel totally comfortable about being in church can tune in and be a part of what we're doing. I'm wearing sandals today because I knew that I would get some kind of comment, but I'm wearing sandals because I've got a little twisted ankle, and it's easier to wear a brace with sandals. Most say, hey, don't worry about it. You can wear sandals and shorts anytime you want. I realize that. Jesus wore sandals. See, I knew that somebody would tell me that, and so I'm going to just leave it at that and say I'm glad for that. Hey, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to get about halfway through. Before we do, though, I want to just pray over the graduates, those who have graduated. Even though there are none present here today, we know we've got a bunch that have graduated from either college or high school or junior high school. And so why don't we go ahead and stand up, and we're going to pray blessing upon them, and then we're going to jump into our text this morning. Again, we'll be in Ephesians 4, bouncing around in there. And at the very end, I'm going to take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's not on the slides, but I just want to spend a few minutes going through that passage, a handful of verses there. So, Lord, we bow our heads in prayer. We're thankful for your presence. God, we invite you to continue to be with us as we open up the Word of God. I pray that as we open up the Word of God, that our hearts would be attentive. And God, even excited to hear what you would speak to us. Because I believe, God, that when we gather, you've got this uncanny way, this supernatural way of speaking to each of us, ministering to each of us. And so we thank you for that, that you are very personal, that you are keenly aware of our needs. And so we pray that as we bring the word, God, that you would illuminate that to our understanding, and that it would speak to us, build us up, building us up in our most holy faith, that we might grow in you. So use God through your Spirit and your Word, Lord, through this time of fellowship and prayer and worship and teaching, Lord. I pray that you would grow us and mature us in our faith, Lord. So we love you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. How many are back to church for the first time this week? All over the campus, first time. How many are back for the second time? And how many are back for the third time? Yeah, it's good. It's really good to be back. We were out of church for 11 weeks, and then week 12, we decided to start back May 31st, and I realized more than initially it was just going to be Harvest Church on the Central Coast, but it turns out like six other churches started with us on May 31st, and so and then every week, churches have joined up. I've had calls from other pastors saying, hey, how did it go? How is it going? Any insight or help that you can offer to us as we get ready to do the same thing? And so it's been fun to kind of collaborate and work with other churches on the Central Coast who are wanting to have church in person. And so, as you know, we've got, you know, reduced seating in the sanctuary, reduced seating in the loft, reduced seating everywhere. And then we've added a couple venues, the patio and the shop. As you watch from home, though, I'll speak to the camera. As you watch from home, it doesn't look like from the angle of the cameras that we've reduced seating, but we have. We have reduced seating. You can tell when you're here, but if you're watching from home, it looks like it's just as busy as it normally is. But we have, and so if you've been nervous about that, you don't need to be nervous about that. We're trying to social distance. Green dot, red dot. Green dot means give me a hug, high five, handshake, whatever it is. Red dot, you know, chicken wing. Respect the distance, and so we respect that for sure. So we love you guys. God bless you. Sermon title today, what does it mean when you say, I am a Christian? What does that mean? What does it mean when you say, I am a Christian? I was on the campus Friday working on the message and thinking about the message, and I came out and I noticed some trash, and so I just go around and pick up trash, and then this couple, as typically happens, some people were on the campus because they just gone to Doc's to pick up some ice cream, and so they were enjoying our seats in the back of the loft there, little benches, and so we got a chance to strike up a conversation, and they've been around here for a long time, living in Cayuga, so they're over here just visiting and getting ice cream and just happy to be out, you know, happy to be out, and so we, some small talk and talking about family and Christianity and just life in Jesus, and this gal talks about her daughter, and she said, hey, I've got a daughter who's about 40, and so we talk about her, and they're talking about this man in her life, and I said, oh, does she have a husband? And she said, no, she's living with her boyfriend, but I said, oh, is she a Christian? And she said, well, yeah, but she's living with her boyfriend. You could tell she was just uneasy about it, you know, Christian, living, not married, together with her boyfriend, and She was just uncomfortable with it, and she said, she finally blurted out, "I just want my daughter to be happy." In other words, if this is what's going to make my daughter happy, then this is what I want for her. So I began to wonder, is that what it means to be a Christian? Not in a judgmental, harsh way, but I just began to wonder, what does it mean to be a Christian? What kind of transformation should we expect? What kind of life change should we expect when we encounter the living God? Should something happen in our lives as a result of the salvation that we receive, the filling of the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible says it's clear that when we get saved, when our sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit is given to us, and the Holy Spirit is given to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of the coming judgment. The Holy Spirit is there. He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's actually deposited into our lives, in our lives, helping us to live according to the Scripture and according to God's ways. So I began to wonder, is that what it means to be a Christian? As a Christian, can I do whatever makes me happy? Because that really just opens up potentially a can of worms. I mean, if being a Christian means I can just do whatever it means to make me happy, then how much do we really need God's word? I'd say very little do we need God's word if that's what it means. I think, and I hope you understand my heart in this. I know that everybody's in process. Can we just take a deep breath there? Everybody's in process. So we're all learning as we come to faith in Christ. But at some point, as we hear truth about the Word of God, the role of a Christian is actually to have our lives conformed to the Word of God, to the truth of God. And so none of us here are perfect, right? I mean, I'm the first one to acknowledge that I've got all kinds of flaws. You know, the church is full of people with all kinds of flaws. But at some point, we have to say, you know what, Jesus is the Lord of my life, and I want my life to reflect who he is and to be conformed to the Word of God. And that means something's got to change. Anytime people have been touched by the presence of Jesus in the Scripture, their lives have been radically changed. Whether it be a blind person who sees someone who gets resurrected from the dead, their lives have been radically changed. When Jesus called his disciples walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he called fishermen. He said, "Leave your nets, leave everything that you're familiar with, and come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." As he walked by Levi's booth, Matthew's tax collection booth, he said, "Hey, Levi, come and follow me. Leave behind what you've always known and what has been profitable to you. Leave it behind because I want you to come follow me." Being a Christian means that we walk in a manner worthy of our calling, number one. That's the first point in our message. Walking in a manner worthy of your calling. That's what it means to be a Christian. And we're going to see this truth kind of unfolded for us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. I've actually decided to make a change. I've been preaching from the New Living Translation for 18 or 20 years, for a very long time. And I love the New Living Translation. And in many cases, the NLT is actually clearer than the ESV in its communication of the Word of God. But the ESV really is a powerful translation as well. And so for my personal reading and for my personal preaching, I decided to switch it up because as I'm reading a different translation, it helps me to see things with different nuances and different it's slightly different language, so it just kind of brings things to light again. Maybe things that I've taken for granted as I've read through the Scripture. You know, I've read this over and over again, but as I read it in a new translation, it just kind of like, oh, hey, it causes me to pay attention closer. So I'll be reading from the ESV for today, and we'll see how it goes moving forward. What does it mean when I say I'm a Christian? Being a Christian means walking in a manner worthy of your calling, verses 1 through 3, Ephesians 4. The Apostle Paul writes, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord." Paul's a prisoner for the Lord. Paul's in prison because of the Lord. Paul was a Pharisee persecuting the church, and in Acts chapter 9, the Spirit of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to Paul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? God reveals himself to Saul, and then Saul realizes that he's on the wrong path. And so Saul's life is transformed. He becomes, he's no longer Saul of Tarsus. He's Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles. His life is radically changed. We see that throughout the scripture with all of the apostles. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Is he talking to apostles? Yes. Pastors? Yes. Lay people? Yes. People with all the different gifts and talents? Yes. He's talking to all of us. Anybody who's in Christ, this is who Paul is talking to. He's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he's talking to the church here at Harvest Church in Arroyo Grande in 2020. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we're called to, first and foremost, live in humility. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we look at the example of Jesus in his life and ministry, and then we look at the Apostle Paul as he writes this epistle, this prison epistle. There's great humility. He's in prison, but it's not that he's boasting about it. He's just saying, hey, this is the reality of the situation. I'm here because of my faith in Christ. And his humility allows him to continue to be used. He's not angry about it. He's got a kingdom perspective. God's got me here for a purpose. It's difficult. I'm not going to be uptight about it. I'm going to be humble about where I'm at, and I'm going to continue to be used by the Lord. Jesus modeled humility. Paul modeled humility. And as we are sanctified, transformed by our faith, we become more and more aware of our need to be humble. And it just becomes more part of who we are. We become humble where maybe before we were proud or arrogant. That's just something that happens. And then there's a gentleness and patience that we see from the scripture. These are fruit of the Spirit that we identify in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 defines for us what it means to be filled with the Spirit and what we can expect the fruit of that life to be. So imagine a tree. You plant a tree. It's an apple tree. You expect apples to grow from that apple tree, right? Because that's the kind of tree. So if we're planted in Christ and filled with the Spirit of God, there are things that, fruitful things, things that should be produced in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And so in Paul's list here in Ephesians, we see a couple of the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness and patience. Listen, we won't see any of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives consistently. We won't see it consistently through the good times and the hard times. We won't see the fruit of the Spirit consistently in our lives, and others won't see it unless we're filled continually with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, we're told to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. I say it all the time. We constantly need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the result, the fruit of that, we should see these things that Paul is talking about, and specifically gentleness and patience. When we've walked with Jesus for a long time, having submitted our lives, it doesn't matter how long we've walked with the Lord, if we haven't submitted our lives to him and allowed the Spirit of God to shape us and to mold us, we're going to be lacking these things. We might be saved because we're saved by grace through faith. It has nothing to do with ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians says. But when we're saved and then allow ourselves to go through the sanctification process, then we begin to see this fruit. And I honestly would question if a person is saved and hasn't hungered for righteousness. I would say go back and revisit your salvation experience. I'm not saying you're not saved, but just go back and revisit it. Because when we have a genuine encounter with the Lord, we want righteousness. We want sanctification. We want to become more and more like Jesus because the Spirit of God has filled us and he's teaching us and working in our lives. Gentleness and patience. So we actually can't consistently experience this unless we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The next kind of thing that in that passage says, bearing with one another in love. Again, love, joy. We have this profound capacity in Christ to bear with one another in love. And it's not just with those that we agree with. We're in such a difficult season in our culture and in the world with COVID, but also in the culture with just the race thing. And we don't have to agree with those. In fact, we're called to love our enemies. And people that we disagree with, they're not even our enemies, but they're just people that we just don't fully see eye to eye with. We actually are called to live in a love relationship with them, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Listen, we could take a poll in this room, and certainly among the Christians on the Central Coast, and we all might have slightly different varying views of different parts of Scripture. There are the essentials. We're saved by grace through faith. We're saved because God is good, not because we are good. It's not a result of our works, but because God is good. He sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. The shed blood of Christ has cleansed us of our sins. So those are the essential things. And then beside that, there are all kinds of other things that we don't fully agree with. I have John MacArthur's commentaries. I don't fully agree with John, but the dude's a scholar, and I can glean a lot from him, even though we don't agree fully across the board. We disagree. Is he still my brother? Yeah. I am part of a group of pastors here on the Central Coast, and we all are in different churches because we all have differing views. Does it mean we're not brothers and sisters in the Lord? We're absolutely brothers and sisters in the Lord. Some of my closest pastoral friends are guys that we just have some slight differences, but we still are brothers in the Lord. And so eager to maintain the unity of spirit. Why? Because there's one body, one church in Christ, a bunch of different congregations, a bunch of different denominations, but there's one church, capital C Church, one church who Jesus is Lord of. And so it doesn't matter what denomination we are, as long as we believe in the essentials that Jesus died for our sins and that we can walk in that agreement, there's one body, one spirit, the same spirit, the Holy Spirit that indwells every believer. And then it wraps it up in the bond of peace. Matthew Henry wrote, no relation, I don't believe. Matthew Henry wrote, my name is Steve Henry for those of you who don't know me. He said this: the seat of Christian unity is in the heart or the spirit. This is where it all comes from. Christian unity begins with the heart and the spirit. It does not lie in one set of thoughts, nor in one form and mode of worship, but in one heart and one soul. This unity of heart and affection may be said to be of the Spirit of God. It is wrought by him. That's what I was saying earlier. We can't do what God has asked us to do. We won't produce spiritual fruit unless the Spirit of God is in us. So this unity of heart and affection may be said to be of the Spirit of God. It is wrought by him, and it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. This we should endeavor to keep. Endeavor is a gospel word that means we must do our utmost. Our utmost to pursue. If others will quarrel with us, we must take all possible care not to quarrel with them. He continues, if others will despise and hate us, we must not despise and hate them. In the bond of peace, peace is the bond, he said. Peace is a bond as it unites persons and makes them live friendly one with another. Is that too much to ask? It's not when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, because it brings humility. And even though I don't agree, I can still have fellowship. And even if we're not of the same mind spiritually, I can still love someone who completely disagrees with me. A peaceable disposition and conduct bind Christians together. So in the Christian mindset, even if we disagree, a peaceable disposition and conduct bind us together. Whereas discord and quarreling disband and disunite their hearts and affections. He continues, many slender twigs bound together become strong, right? I was at my mom's house yesterday, and she said, hey, look, we're out on their patio, and they've got these tiny little lights up in the patio. And she said, look just on the top of that tiny little light. And I look, and it's about something about the size of a golf ball. And I'm curious, and she says, you know what that is? She said, it's a hummingbird nest. And it's got four birds in it, four little baby hummingbirds. Tiny golf ball size nest, and mama's going back and forth and feeding the baby little hummingbirds. Tiny, tiny little twigs brought together, creating a nest for those tiny little birds. I think the picture for us is that God has created us to be unified, tiny little twigs just coming together to create a place where people can come and hear the gospel and grow in grace and grow in faith. We have this capacity when we're unified, when we stand together, when we're knit together. We have this capacity. And we have a responsibility, according to the scripture, to live this way together. So being a Christian means walking in a manner worthy of your calling. This is our calling as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, remembering, and we've touched on this a little bit, remembering there's only one body and one spirit. One body, one spirit. Ephesians 4:4 through 10 says this. There are many Christian churches. Well, let me jump to Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One body and one spirit. You know there are two kingdoms in the earth? There are only two kingdoms in the earth. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. There's the kingdom of God and the inferior kingdom of Satan. They're not equals. They're not on the same ground. Lucifer is a created being. God is eternal. Lucifer is a fallen angel. And when he fell, he took a third of the angels with him. Rebelling against God and setting up, as it were, his own kingdom. A kingdom that takes people straight to hell. So there's the kingdom of God, and then there's the inferior kingdom of Satan. The truth is, you are either in one kingdom or the other. We are in the kingdom of God, or we are in the kingdom of Satan. You say, well, I don't want to be in the kingdom of God, but I don't want to be in the kingdom of Satan. Well, if you don't want to be in the kingdom of God, you are choosing the kingdom of Satan, because there's only two choices. There's only two choices, according to Scripture, which is where we get our theology, our doctrine, our understanding of who God is. It's the inspired, the divine inspired word of God that instructs us and grows us in our understanding and faith. So you're in one camp or the other. I'm in one camp or the other. If you believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are in Christ by his grace, and if you serve him, then you belong to him. If you don't believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not in Christ, if you don't serve Jesus, then you belong to Satan. I realize that we don't want to hear this kind of truth, because it's difficult for us to hear this kind of truth. And so I'm going to read a passage of Scripture in John. This isn't in the slides either, so you don't have to find that one. I realize that it's hard to hear this truth, and it seems too simplistic, but this is what the Bible teaches. John 3:16-21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. What are we being saved from? We're being saved from death, separation, perishing, separation from God, a spiritual death. In order that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whoever does not believe in him is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light, Jesus, has come into the world, and people love the darkness, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Pretty straightforward truth. Most of us have John 3:16 memorized, and maybe 17, but then we forget the rest of that passage, and we don't take to heart the reality, the sober reality of the rest of that truth. And I know it's a hard thing to hear. It's hard for us to comprehend, some of us, and it seems too simplistic, but this is exactly what the Scripture tells us. And it teaches us this in the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. From Genesis to Revelation, we see this truth communicated to us. We're saved by grace through faith. So God's desire is that none of us would perish, but that all would come to faith in Christ. And as we come to faith in Christ, he actually gives us a grace gift. He gives us gifts, salvation, but on top of that, grace gifts, spiritual gifts that he gives to us, to every believer who knows him, he gives a spiritual gift. Verse 7, Ephesians 4, but grace, a grace gift, was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. What was Christ's gift? Salvation. Sins forgiven, free and clear. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. The Greek word there can be translated men and women. He gave gifts to men and women. He gave gifts to men and women, and we're going to get there in a minute, but we're going to understand what those gifts look like and what they are and what should we expect. What should we expect from God? What should we be walking in the calling of God? It has to do with our gifts and our identity that we are in Christ. He gave us gifts. Verse 9, it says, in saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions or the lower parts of the earth. What does that verse mean? John MacArthur, a man who I disagree with theologically on some areas, but a man who's much smarter than me in most areas. John MacArthur wrote, the phrase here does not point to a specific place, but to the great depth, as it were, of the incarnation. The incarnation is when Christ came as a man, born of a virgin, lived 33 years, died, resurrected. That's the incarnation. Including Christ's descent between his crucifixion and resurrection beyond the earth, the grave and death, into the very pit of the demons, the spirits and prisons. And we're going to read about that in 1 Peter coming up. We'll get to 1 Peter 3 in a moment. The Lord humbled himself first in the incarnation. He humbled himself. That's why he's called us to be humble. He calls us to follow his lead, his example. He humbled himself first, and then he was exalted. He descended first, and then he ascended. Let's go to Ephesians 4:10 before we get to 1 Peter 3. Ephesians 4:10 said, he who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. This is what Jesus did in Colossians chapter 2, and then we'll get to 1 Peter 3. This is what Jesus did. This is the gospel. This is the good news. It says, Colossians 2:13-15, and you who were dead, and the scripture means spiritually dead. Peter understood what it means to be spiritually dead, because before Jesus called him at the shores of the Sea of Galilee, Peter was spiritually dead. And you who were dead, spiritually dead, in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. So when he died on the cross, he forgave all of our trespasses for those who received the free gift of salvation. He did this by canceling the record of debt. So we had a debt record. If you've ever been arrested, you've had a record on file with the police, you've been guilty of something, Well, as people, we've been born, we're sinners by nature, meaning we're born into it through Adam, but we're also sinners by choice, meaning we just sin because we choose to sin. So he canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, and those were demonic rulers and authorities. He disarmed them and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. By triumphing over them in him. That is on the cross. He said, though I died, I created salvation. In my death, I am victorious, is what he's saying to the demonic who thought they had beat him. They thought they had beat him, crucifying him. But on the third day, he resurrected, demonstrating victory. 1 Peter 3:18 and 19 in the ESV says this, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." This is God's desire for us, that we'd become alive in the Spirit, through which he went and proclaimed, he preached to the spirits in prison. Jesus preached between Christ, between his death and resurrection. His living spirit went to the demon spirits bound in the abyss and proclaimed that in spite of his death, he had triumphed over them. The spirits in prison, this refers to fallen angels, demons who were permanently bound because of heinous wickedness. You can read about that in the scripture. Listen, in the end, Satan and all of his demons, all of the fallen angels, will be sent to the eternal lake of fire. And if you're not in Christ, that's what's going to happen to those who aren't in Christ. So all who deny Jesus and refuse his grace gift will also be sent to this lake of fire. Being a Christian means something. It's meant to not just give us fire insurance, like keep us out of hell, but it actually means that our lives are to be transformed and we're to be living differently by his grace as we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're to being a Christian means walking in a manner worthy of our calling. Number two, remembering there's only one body and one spirit. And then number three, we've been hinting at it, but it's number three is using your gifts. Being a Christian means using your gifts. Imagine somebody gave you an amazing gift and you never took it out of the package. You never used it. You never. Somebody gives you a brand new car and you never took it for a drive. Somebody gives you a new book and you never read it. Somebody gives you a new shirt and you never wear it. Imagine somebody giving you a gift and you just kind of put it in the closet. This is what some of us have done with the gifts that we've been given. We've just shelved them. I don't want to do that, Lord. I don't want to do that. Well, you don't have to. You don't have to. Still saved, still walking in grace. But you don't have to use your gifts. But one day you will stand before the Lord and answer why you didn't use your gifts. And then you'll have to just give your answer to the Lord then. I don't want to do that personally. I'm afraid of God. I've got a healthy fear of the Lord. can we just camp out there a little bit? Some of us need to be afraid of the Lord. Some of us need to revisit that. Like, you know, some of us feel like, oh, Jesus is my buddy. He's my bro. He's my neighbor. He's my whatever. He is the king, man. Holy cow. Imagine your fear and trepidation if you met a powerful person, a president or a king. Those are merely people. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of all lords. And when we play games with him and don't revere him and fear him, we have completely missed the boat. We have misunderstood the gospel. His grace is sufficient for sure, but his grace should never be a reason to sin or to be rebellious or to be disobedient. His grace should draw us by the Spirit and should cause us to desire holiness and righteousness and purity, that we would become more and more like Jesus and less like our old person. We need to understand a proper fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as we learn thoroughly through our study through the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. We need to have a proper fear of the Lord. Otherwise, we're just going to flounder and never do what God has asked us to do and never experience the life that God has asked us to live, because we just don't, honestly, just don't care. That's not salvation. That is not what it means to be a Christian. That is not what it means to be a Christian. And so Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, which are pastors and teachers, or the pastor teacher, to equip the saints for the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. So your job is actually to be equipped so that you can go use your gifts and go do the ministry. My job as pastor teacher is to equip you to go do the work of the ministry. So this is my work of ministry, to equip you. Now, will I touch others outside the body of Christ? Absolutely, that's my heart. But if, essentially, my role, my primary role, is to equip you to go do it. Because there's many of you and one of me. There's not usually very many pastors in a church, but there's a lot of parishioners. So my job is to equip you, to equip the saints. If you're in Christ, you're a saint. If you know Jesus, you're a saint, because God is good and his grace is sufficient and you've been cleansed of your sin. So welcome to sainthood. Saint Debbie, Saint Diane, Saint Rick, Saint Perry. Sounds weird, right? It's the gospel. It's the truth. It's the truth, right? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith. We talked about unity, where it's one body, one spirit, and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. It speaks of being full grown. We come to faith in Christ. We're infants in our beliefs and our understanding and our faith. God's desire is to grow us up. I've got 5 grandkids, and they're all growing up at different stages. I've got a 9-month, 10-month-old little girl, and everybody all the way up to, what's Levi, 6, and they're all kind of growing up, and we're watching Willow take her first steps. We're watching Levi ride his bike, and Jed, and they're doing these different things and learning to hit a baseball. Because they're growing up, it would be weird if Levi at 6 years old wasn't walking yet, unless there was some condition, some pre-existing condition, like we've got a son, Emerson, who was born 94 days early, and so he's still progressing, though. Even though he was born and in the NICU for 94 days, we're still seeing him stand up and clap and laugh and enjoy life. Because even though he's doing it at a little bit slower pace, he's still growing. Yeah. So we have this responsibility to say, well, I can't grow because I got all these issues. Well, join the club. We all got issues. It's no excuse. You gotta get moving. You got to get growing. Until we all kind of grow up. The fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, meaning, I don't know what I believe, so if I hear something that sounds good, that tickles my ears, I'm going to believe that, because I don't have a foundation of Scripture, so I guess that sounds good, so I'm just going to do it. I just want my daughter to be happy. Being tossed by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head of Christ, who is the head into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the whole body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Being a Christian means something. Being a Christian means transformation. It means change. It means that life is different. In 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going to take a few minutes to just unpack this a little bit, because this is kind of what church is supposed to look like. And I've been challenged by this lately. So let me think about whether I want to actually go into this or if I want to just make this another sermon. Yeah, I'm going to make it another sermon because I could spend another 45 minutes on it. So I'm going to make it a sermon. So let's invite the worship team up. How's that? I've been vacillating about 1 Corinthians 14 all week, whether I should jump into that. Let's invite the worship team up, and we're going to stand up and pray. And then, listen, if you need prayer for anything that we've talked about, I'm going to be up here. And in all the venues, pastors, elders, if you guys can be up front, leaders, if you guys can be up front in all the venues, in the loft, in the shop, and on the patio, if you can be just up front so people can come and get prayer. So I want to pray for you if you're saying, hey, I want to understand what my gifts are. And we're actually going to be offering another spiritual gifts class. We've done it a little bit over the number of years that we've been talking about spiritual gifts. But We're going to do it again. David Apodaca is going to be teaching the class with Rolando Rojas and Doug Wilson. The three of them are going to teach the class beginning in the fall. That's the plan. So as we sing this song, how many songs do we have? One or two? We got one and a half songs, so we're going to do that. And then while we're singing, I'm going to be up here with a fresh breath mint. So I'm ready to pray for you. So if you'd like to receive prayer for salvation, if you'd like to receive prayer for a filling of the Holy Spirit so that you receive your gifts that God has for you, maybe you're saying, man, I don't feel like I understand it. I'm going to ask the Lord to fill you afresh and give you understanding about what he's called you to do, what kind of gifts. And there's Bibles full of about 23 gifts that that are there, and God wants to give you something like that. So Lord, let's go ahead and stand up all over the campus. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here, to pray, to be with you, to hear truth from your word, to be challenged, to worship, to fellowship, to do all of these things that we've been doing today. We love you, Lord, and we need you. As we worship God, and I pray that people will be bold to come down in prayer, to pray, to get prayer and receive what they need from you, Lord. So your will be done, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Perry's up first.
With all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, and all of my strength, Jesus, I love you. With all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, and all of my strength, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. With all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, and all of my strength, Jesus, I love you. With all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, and all of my strength, Jesus, I love you. 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 With all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, and all of my strength, Jesus, I love you. With all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, and all of my strength, Jesus,
Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for Steve's message, Lord, and his heart for this congregation, Lord. And help us to grow, Lord, in those things that you have for us, Lord. You know, I prayed a couple of weeks ago to increase our capacity to love. Well, today I just felt like increase our capacity to grow, Lord, to those things that we hear from you that scare us, Lord, that like, no, I can't do that. Yes, we can, Lord, and I pray that we seek that in a really passionate way. So thank you again, Lord. Thank you for this church. Help us to love everybody we come across outside of this place, Lord. Amen. Hey, thank you guys for being here today. I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday, a great week, and we really hope to see you back here next week.